said, "We don't love them." Did you hear that? Wow, I love it. I love it. Well, it is good to be here with you this morning. My name is Brother Todd, and my wife, Miss Rebecca, right there. And it was, I think, in March of last year that I preached on a Sunday and filled in for Pastor. And I was just thinking, we stayed with Brother and Mrs. Hicks then, or I did. Miss Becca was out of town, and I think visiting her family, so I was by myself that day. And just thinking, as a snapshot of a year going by and all that God had did in that last year. Last year I stood here thinking, okay, we're going to start a new camp, and I have no idea what we're going to do. I'm shaking and not sure how things were going to work. And I remember even during that day just putting out a little plea and saying, you know, if you could help in some way, we'd greatly appreciate it. And had a number of people afterwards from your church, from the congregation here, just step up and say, hey, we'll help in this area and that area. And I left so encouraged that day, and I want to thank you for that. And not only said that they would come and help, but actually came and helped. And on an ongoing basis, and all across the auditorium, there's people that help on a regular basis. And I'm so grateful for that. And for you to put your heart and your time and your investment in our ministry, the camp ministry, and in what God is doing there. And it just takes an army of people to make something like that happen. And I thank you as a church for being involved in worldwide missions and supporting local mission projects like our camp by giving as you do on a monthly basis to our ministry, and then also by helping. And I hope you and I love sharing testimonies of things that God has done in the camp and people that have been saved and lives changed. And I just want to thank you publicly for being a help and a blessing to our ministry in that regard, and just being there for us. And you've made us feel welcome and allowing us to come on Wednesday night and be a part of your church. And we're thankful for that. We've had a great time getting to know each and every one of you, except for Brother Van Raden. He looked at my lapel and said, "You know that's got a special switch." I swear. And he goes, "Well, if you say something wrong, I can zap you." And so, you know, people show their love in different ways, don't they? You know. But it's good to be here. Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation.
That's your last chance to be loud.
Oh, it is. Okay. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Last chance to be loud in junior church. Revelation chapter 1. Come out and see the camp if you're ever in the area. We'd love to have you. Please stop by. Sure do miss Pastor being here today. And it's interesting, all those things that you don't realize that he does behind the scenes, and those little things that get done, and then when he's gone, then you really miss them, right? Brother Don did a great job in Sunday school this morning and learned a lot. And he said, he started off and said, "Pray for preacher, he's in a better place." And I, what is that? He's not coming back? That was like the first thought out of my mind. I'm sorry, maybe I just thought of it wrong, but I guess when it's raining and snowing and sleeting here, he's in California, that's a better place. But I just found that funny. But I love Brother Don, appreciate all he does to help out. And we get to spend some great time together at the camp, and he comes out and helps on a regular basis. Appreciate him for that. But great Sunday school lesson this morning. And I'm glad we can be in God's house today. Amen. And I'm going to kind of preach along that line today. And, you know, I'll read the verse, and then we'll my passage of Scripture, just one verse. And in Revelation chapter 1, verse 10, it says, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." And we're going to preach today on this thought, six for you, one for him. Six for you, one for him. The Lord has given us 7 days out of a week. He gives us six to do whatever we want to with them. And he asks us for just one day, that the Lord's day. And as I was thinking about this, have you ever had maybe a sibling when you're little, when you're younger, your parents, you had several siblings, and I know my parents would do this. Maybe my dad would buy a bag of candy and say, "All right, split this up amongst your siblings, okay?" So you ever have a sibling like this, a brother or sister, who would give one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me, one for you, one for me. By the end, they had six times as much, and you're like, "Hey, wait a second. You know, you ever have one like that? And then when you get older, you realize, wait a second, that wasn't fair. But that's what God has given us 6 days in the week, and He only asks us for one, and to reverence Him, to honor Him, and we come to this place, to His house, and you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I began going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, special meetings before I was even born. This is all I've known. And you know what? Sometimes, I'm just going to be honest with you. Sometimes you come to church and you're thinking, and someone opens up to a passage of Scripture, you already know what they're going to preach on. You already know the subject. You know the story behind that chapter in the Bible. And sometimes you can get these thoughts like, you know, I wonder what new thing can I learn today from church? Or I've heard that before. Or we know the ritual. We stand up, we sit down, we sing, we shake hands, we do this, we do that. You kind of just get into a ritual every day, every Sunday of that. And you come, and I just want to kind of refresh the idea today of being in church and what it should mean to every one of us. And not get used to what we have here, amen? Not get used to a Sunday. And I want to build this up as the most exciting day of the week, like it should be, amen? And the verse says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and we'll dive into this this passage today. Lord, we pray for Pastor as he's gone today. Please be with him, give him safety as he travels and a refreshing time. And I pray, Lord, that you speak in through me to your people today in Pastor's absence, Lord. And I pray that you'd please, Lord, do a great work. And I pray that you'd just help us as we stop and meditate and think about how important Sunday is and how important it should be to every one of us. I pray that we wouldn't lose the excitement of it, Lord, that it'd be new, that it'd be exciting to us each and every Sunday we come, Lord, and that we would treat it as that, and we'd honor you on the Lord's day. In your name pray, amen. This passage of Scripture was written by John. John wrote this when he was exiled to Patmos, and it tells us that in the verse previous to it. Patmos was a little island right off of Greece, not far from Greece, and it's just a little island. I remember several years ago, we had a man come and help us at the camp, and he was there for the week, and he was from Greece, and he had an accent, and found out that he owned an island. His family owned an island. There, I guess there's several different islands right there. And I said, really, where's your island? He said, have you ever heard of Patmos? And I said, yes, I've heard of Patmos. He goes, I own the island next to it. Wow, that's pretty neat. This was a little island off of Greece. And it's thought that it was kind of a concentration camp, if you will, where people were forced to work. Maybe it had mines where they were working there. But John was sent there, probably for being a Christian, by the Romans, and he was sent there and exiled to this pagan land. They didn't have any churches there. There wasn't any emphasis on Christ there at all. No one worshiped the Lord on the Lord's Day. There was none of that going on. Yet, I find it interesting that even though he was in such a pagan land, a pagan area, in this isolated island by himself, separated because he preached the gospel, that he remembered, he accounted for the days of the week and knew it was the Lord's Day. We see he was in the Lord's Day. Who told him that? Who explained that to him? Who was there to gather with him? Nobody. He was probably by himself as a Christian. Yet he honored the Lord on that Lord's Day, even though he may have been there by himself. The Lord's Day does not belong to us, may I say. Think about this. We have every day of the week to do what we want to, but God says, I want you to honor me on this day. Well, and if you ever go out soul winning, you hear this. Well, Sunday's the only day I have to catch up on chores. Sunday's the only day I have to go fishing. Sunday's the only day. Listen, it's not your day. You see that apostrophe S right there? That means that's possessive. It's the Lord's day. It belongs to Him. It doesn't belong to us. And if we're going to take it for our own, that makes us a thief. Let me also mention that it says it's the Lord's day, not the Lord's hour. I'm just going to interject that for people who may only come on Sunday morning. This is the Lord's day. We should honor Him all day long. I encourage you, if you only come Sunday morning, come Sunday evening. Be a part of it, the Lord's day. Let's honor Him all day long. And in Leviticus 23, we won't go there, but it says, in Leviticus 23, verse 3, it says, 6 days shall work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Convocation means a large group. We should come together, join in the Lord's house. We're better to spend and honor the Lord than in His house. But you know what? You're here today. So you say, Brother Todd, why are you preaching on this verse? You're preaching on be in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Well, we're here. So why are you preaching on that, Brother Todd? Because, like I said, as I grew up in church myself, I'm just going to be honest with you. There's times where I've sit in the pew and the Bible opens and the preacher begins to preach, and then my mind is a million miles away. Okay? I'm thinking about something else, and before I know it, he's in point three, and I didn't even catch point one or two. He's preaching away, and I'm thinking about all the tasks I have to do that week, how busy I am, and all the things I got to do at work. And then you begin to think, did I do this? Or, you know, your mind just starts to daydream, or you start to go somewhere else in your mind. And you know, you could be here in body, but your mind is a million miles away, or your spirit is not here worshiping God. And it's so important that we understand that there's much more than just being in church on the Lord's day. There's some things that we ought to do to honor the Lord in the service on the Lord's day. Why do we think it's the pastor's job to warm our hearts every Sunday? Why do we think it's the pastor's job to break off those sin barnacles and to captivate our attention? We should come with a spirit ready to receive, ready to hear, not just this, okay, what's he going to say today? You know, that look with your arms crossed and thinking, what's he going to tell me today? How can I learn anything new? I don't know. I've heard that story 100 times. He tells that joke the 1st and the 15th of every month, you know. And that can be our attitude sometimes. And we ought to be careful about that. When we come to church with that stony heart, how can we expect God or the preacher to plant a seed in our heart if we have that stony heart? There's some preparation that needs to be done ahead of time to coming to the Lord's house on Sunday. Notice it says that he was in the Spirit, capital S. And there's a lot of times where churches want to come up with their own description of what church should be. And they want to come up with their own spirit and their own excitement and own enthusiasm. And they lose track of what God has orchestrated as the guidelines for what church should be. A number of years ago, I was preaching at a church, and the church was renting a community hall, and it was split down the middle. And prior to our church service starting on this side of the wall, on the other side of the wall was a charismatic church, and they had started like an hour earlier than us. And I walked in, as I'm walking up to the building, it was the first time I'd been there. And I didn't know where I was going, and I heard all this commotion. And as I opened the door to the wrong side, I saw people with tambourines going like this around the auditorium. And I mean, it was loud, it was almost obnoxious, it was confusing, I didn't know what was going on. And this was the prelude to their service starting. This is how they're going to get in the Spirit, you know, but it was their own spirit. It wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. You know, the Bible says that we hear the Lord in a still small voice, and we ought to be able to be quiet sometimes and listen and let Him speak to us. But that's not what church was. And I opened the door and thought, oh my goodness, I hope I'm in the wrong place. And I realized I'm supposed to be on the other side of the room. But that was eye-opening. But that's so many churches today. They think they're going to worship God their own way. Or, I'm going to worship God. You know what? My church is My church is in the woods. I can worship God on Sunday while I'm in the woods. I've heard that said before. I'm going to worship God in my boat on Sunday. I can worship God. No, we ought to worship Him in His house, in His place, here on Sunday. I was out of town one day and I went to a coffee shop on a Sunday morning early before church. I was reading my Bible. Sometimes I'll try to get away like that if I'm not at home and try to get a quiet place so I don't wake Miss Beck up early. And I was sitting here reading my Bible and in walks this lady on Sunday morning, okay? Well, in walks a lady and two little boys right behind her. And she's got a t-shirt on with a baseball on it, and her boys are dressed in their baseball uniforms, and they're just maybe 8 or 9, 10 years old. They got their baseball hats on, and while they're waiting for their mom to order coffee, they're practicing their pitch like this. And I mean, now tell me, you see that scene, what are those people thinking about? Where do you think they're gonna go? To the baseball field, right? What are they thinking about right then? The baseball field. The boys are already practicing. They're working on it. They're not thinking about church. They're not thinking about worshiping God. It was evident where they were going that morning. And it was evident where they were what they were doing. It was evident what was important to them on Sunday. And it should be the same for us when our neighbors see us leaving on Sunday morning. I wonder where so-and-so's going. Well, they got their Bible, they're dressed, they're ready for church. I passed the car this morning. I don't know where, I don't know these people at all, but I saw a Bible on his dashboard of his car as he was coming this way. I thought, you know what? Obviously, he's on his way to church. It's good to see someone else on their way to church. But because John was in the right spirit, God was able to speak to him that day. Well, I go to church and I don't learn anything. I can't learn anything. Well, maybe you're so full of yourself, so full of the world, so full of whatever you're doing that week, that God can't fill you. How can God fill a vessel that is already filled up? He can't put any more in it. And we come to church sometimes so packed with ourselves, with ideas, things that we have to do afterwards, so full of that God can't put anything in us. It's easy to get to church and miss what God has for us. We need to come with a revived spirit and excitement to be in church. I want to say, just before I get into the outline part of it, I want to say some things that can help us. Number one, come ready to receive. Come ready to receive. And this isn't the main outline, but just still part of the introduction. Come spiritually hungry. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 says, "Keep thy foot when thou goest in the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools. For they consider not that they do evil." We ought to be ready to hear when we come into the house of God. Amen? We ought to come ready to receive. Come with a tender heart. Jeremiah 4, verse 3 says, "Break up your fallow ground." We ought to come with a tender heart, ready to receive. If the pastor can get us to this spiritual level on Sunday, and then throughout the week we digress, and then he has to bring us back, we haven't grown in the Lord at all. If each Sunday we're only getting to this point, we should do some. We're adults here. We can be ready ourselves spiritually. Do a little heart surgery, if you will, spiritually before we get to church to be ready to receive from the Lord. And so we can grow and add to our faith virtue, knowledge, and grow each week when we come to church. Come with a spirit of worship. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. We should enter in being ready to sing. Pastor Brother Van Rain does a great job leading singing. I loved hearing the volume and the enthusiasm in everyone singing this morning. Sometimes some churches I go, it's not like that. But the way you sing can be a direct result of how well you're going to hear in the service. If you've opened your heart to sing, God can speak to your heart then after that. Come with the desire to see revival in your heart. Come with the desire to see revival. We all expect the preacher to come prepared, so why shouldn't we come prepared also? Can you imagine if the preacher gets up here next Sunday and says, you know what, I've been busy this week and I really didn't have much time to prepare. And, well, let me see here. Maybe we'll turn here. You'd say, why am I here? If he's not prepared, why should I come? Well, it goes both ways. If the pastor spends time in preparing, we as a congregation should be prepared as well. And we should spend time. Can you imagine if the preacher preached like our thoughts are sometimes when we're listening? Let me illustrate something like this. Sometimes, you know, we daydream and we think differently when, or we get sidetracked when the preacher's preaching. Can you imagine if he got up here and said, "Thus saith the Lord, repent or you shall perish." I wonder if I should change my oil today. Did I remember to change my oil? Did I do that? Is it 3,000? Is it 3,000 miles or 5,000 miles? I can never remember. "Thus saith the Lord, or repent or you shall perish." Boy, I really got to mow my lawn today. I got to get that done. You know, and you can imagine the preacher's thought process if he went from preaching to sidetracked back to preaching. No, we want him to be focused, ready to give us something from the Word of God. Well, we ought to be ready to receive as well. Imagine if we had those cartoon thought bubbles that would pop up. And we know really where your mind is while I'm preaching today. Can you imagine that? That would be fun. Maybe. Maybe it would. We need to discipline ourselves to be ready to listen when we come to church. It's also important, you know, those that serve in the church need to be aware of this also, that they don't get so caught up in serving, running around, shoveling the snow, making sure the heat's on. Making sure the heat's on. Wait, where's that guy? No. You know, driving the bus, getting the kids ready, that they miss their moment of listening to God. And they're all so caught up in, I got to do this, and I got to get this ready, I got to make sure everything, the chairs are set up, that they miss their moment of meeting with God on Sunday morning. Some practical things that just help you today to make the most of a Sunday. And this is where I'm going to get in the outline this morning. So there's some practical things that will help us to make Sunday what it should be, the Lord's Day, put the emphasis on who it should be on, why we should be here, so we can get the most out of it on a Sunday morning. Just some practical things. Number one, home preparation. You know, the preparation to be in at church should start way before we get to church. I'm talking about even on Saturday night. Spend back at our house on a Sunday morning. Spend special time, a quiet time with the Lord on Sunday morning to prepare your heart. Spend special time on Sunday morning to prepare your heart. In the Old Testament, when they'd set up the tabernacle, there was the laver outside. And there was a place for them to wash their hands before they went into the temple. It was also a place where they could see the reflection in the water and realize who they were as a person. And that's, for us, our labor is the Word of God. And we can spend time, a special time on Sunday morning, to do a little introspection of who we are as a person and get ready to receive from the Lord as we enter into the tabernacle, or for us today, the church. I want to encourage you in our preparation at home that we dress for the occasion. It's a fact that dress will affect how we act. And, you know, those that were getting ready to go to the baseball field, they were dressed in the attire. They weren't coming to church. And we should, you say, "Brother Todd, how should I dress for church?" Well, I think we should dress our best. We should give the Lord our best. Imagine if you were going to go meet the president, or go to the White House for a dinner, or something like that. And I know it pales in comparison, but you'd want to look your best. You want to dress your best. And we should do the same when we're meeting. This is His house, and we expect to meet with the Lord. We should dress our best. Amen. Yeah. Do as much as you can the night before, so you're not in a rush on Sunday morning. Do as much as you can the night before, so you're not in a rush on Sunday morning. Oh, it's 9:25. We got to go. We're going to be late. We're going to be late. That shouldn't be our attitude on Sunday morning. We should be ready. We should we shouldn't be in a rush on Sunday morning. Go to bed early on a Saturday night. This will help us just to be ready. I've seen it many times. Someone comes to church, they sit down, a few minutes later, and they're falling asleep in church on Sunday morning. And why? Because maybe they had a busy week, but maybe they stayed up too late the night before. You're here, but you're not getting anything from the message. Why did you even come? You know, some people should just thank preacher on the way out instead of thank you for the good message. Thank you for the good nap I got today, you know. Never slept better, preacher. No. But we caught our, you know, we ought to be just some helpful hints here. Now, we talked about before going on our, we talked about home preparation on the way to church. On the way to church, it's important maybe listen to good music on your way to church. Now, you have a little problem with that. You have a 15-step walk. I watched you walk over. You don't have the luxury we had. Never get snowed in, you know. But for most, you know, but it's important at home and right before church or on your way to church, listen to good music. Get your heart ready in preparation for Sunday. When you arrive, before you walk through those doors, unload. What do you mean, Brother Todd? Unload. When you arrive, before you walk through the doors of the church, unload. Unload all the cares of the world. Unload all of your responsibilities for the week. Unload all those tasks and just leave them at the door before you walk in. Unload your phone that can buzz, that can go off, that, you know, all those things that can be a distraction. Say, you know what, God? I've got so much going on, but I'm just going to divorce myself from it. I'm just going to unload at the door, and I'm going to walk in, and I'm going to meet with you today. And then say a little prayer like this. Just something of this nature when you're walking through the door. Lord, prepare my heart to meet with you today. I want to meet with you. Don't let it just be a ritual that here we are, we come, we sing, we give, we go, da-da-da-da-da, we do it every week. Let's make it special. I know some of you have been here longer than I've been alive. Some of you have been here for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. Brother Hicks was telling me his first Sunday school teacher when he was little was Abraham Lincoln here at the church. I don't know if that's true, but no. Yeah, that was your lesson when you were 6 years old. But we ought to come and unload at the door. We ought to pray that prayer, a prayer of God, prepare my heart. And imagine if I came to your house for a meal and you invited me for a meal. I guess we're going to your house today. I'm looking forward to it. But can you imagine, Brother Todd, I come to your house and you invite me over, your wife's prepared, and I never say a word to you the whole time I'm there. I talk to anybody else, but I ignore you. Hey, you know what? I want to invite someone else over because I really don't want to spend time with him. Brother Matt, come over because I want to talk to you instead of him, even though I'm invited to his house. And can you imagine if I'm invited to his house and I ignore him? I never grateful, never say anything to him. But that's the way we treat church sometimes. This is God's house. And the person that we don't talk to is God. And we're talking to each other. We're fellowshipping. We have our agenda to be at church. Maybe it's to see somebody. Maybe it's to spend time with that person. The only person we don't talk to is the person whose house it belongs to. And it's sad to say, but sometimes that's the case. Remove distractions. At our church, there are certain places that I can't sit because there are certain people that will be a distraction to me. And, you know, hey, I'm seeing people look around to each other right now. But it's so true. And my wife says I'm getting bad at this, where I make comments during church that I think are a help, but she says I'm being a distraction to other people. And I get that elbow every once in a while. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Hicks? I think I'm preaching. I think my wife's going to isolate me to sit by myself, you know. But there's certain places that are a hindrance for me to sit. I find when I sit in our, we have a larger auditorium. I find when I sit in the back that I'm somewhat disengaged. That I'm not really paying attention that much. And when I'm sitting that far back, I got to sit closer. For me personally, I got to sit where I know I'm going to get where I'm going to be able to concentrate. It's important for me personally when I'm at church to take notes. You know what? You want to know what I do with my notes from church? And maybe this isn't right, but I don't even really keep them. I throw them away. I'm not going to, but you know what I'm doing while I'm sitting in the service? I'm interacting more. I'm writing. I'm concentrating. I'm thinking more. And it's helping me retain more and get and stay focused on what is being preached. And that's why I take notes. But I encourage you to take notes. And then do this also when you arrive, when you come to church, to make the most out of a Sunday. Bring a gift to show your gratitude. We take up the offering and we put our tithe in there. But the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May it not be just a ritual that we're just passing the offering plate and putting money in, or the preacher expects it, or we got to meet budget this week. But how about an attitude of, God, you let me come to your house today. I want to bring a gift of gratitude, something to thank you for allowing me to be here today. It's all in your heart, in your outlook to where what you're doing. And then let me say this also. Sing out. We talked a little bit about this. It pleases the Lord. When we have our congregations, we sing. It pleases the Lord and it softens your heart. It pleases the Lord and it softens your heart when you sing. Notice I says it pleased the Lord. Might not please anyone else sitting around you, but it pleased the Lord. I got stuck. I got to tell this brother Matt. I got stuck on the lift. We were working at camp this week on HVAC, and I was on this scissor lift, 16 feet up in the air with Isaiah, and he just breaks out in a song. And you know, it was, I'll say, you know, he missed a couple notes, but the Lord was pleased with him singing. He was a great help. But you know, the ones around you might not appreciate it much, but God does. And don't sing for someone else to hear you. Sing because we're singing to the Lord. Amen. And it'll get you ready for the message. We clutter our lives with noise, activities, media, busy schedules, that there's no place for the Lord. And I say that because we're going to go into this next in a verse a couple chapters over, and I'll show you the result of that. Here's what happens in a lot of churches these days. As they've lost sight of the Lord's Day, who it should be about, the reverence of the Lord on that day. And there's churches around that call themselves churches that aren't really churches anymore. And they said, you know what? In our church, in our auditorium here, the pulpit, the Word of God is center, right? Center state, center of the platform. This is what it's about. We exalt and lift this up. But in some churches, then they take their pulpit. You know what, God? We're going to need this space for our drama. So let's put your pulpit over to the side. And that's where it is in some churches. And then, you know what? What is that showing? That God's Word is not preeminent. It's not the focus. And we need this space for our drama. We need it for our choir so we can really sway and sing and really get in the Spirit. And then God gets pushed off to the side. And then before you know it, God, you know what, God? We're going to need this space too. Why don't you just sit over in that corner there? And then before you know it, it's, God, you know, we need that spot too. So let's just have you outside. And then we come to a verse like Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. And a lot of times we think of this verse as a soul winning verse and God knocking at our heart. But it's talking about the church here. Look at Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. If any man, and we're talking about what door is it? It's the door of the church. We're talking about this church here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. This is the Lord speaking. This is the church, the door of the church So I ask you, what's the Lord doing on the outside of the church? This is His house. And I say to Brother Tom, thanks for inviting me over, but I'm going to need this space. Would you mind moving into your barn so I can have your house? I mean, it sounds stupid, but that's what people are doing with the Lord in His own house. And this church was backslidden. The church of Laodicea was backslidden because the Lord was not found anywhere in His own house. He was outside knocking and saying, if you just invite me back in, I would love to spend time with you. And so many churches today, they've lost sight. Where did it start? They lost sight of what the Lord's day should be, the reverencing the Lord on His day. And that's where it led to. Sunday should be the biggest event of the week, not an afterthought. The anticipation should build throughout the week. Tomorrow's Monday, but you know what? And I got to go, and you think to yourself, I got to be in the world. I got to meet with all these people. I got to work with these unsaved people. I got to deal with these problems. But let your hope and your vision be on Sunday, that Sunday's coming, and even Wednesday. And I get to spend time around God's people and be refreshed by being in church. Let's let the anticipation build throughout the week. Sunday's focus should be the Lord. Sunday's objective should be in honoring the Lord. You'll get out of it what you put into it. I never get anything out of church. Well, it's because you're trying to plant in stony ground, unfertile ground. You're trying to plant in hard soil. The preacher is, and he's not getting anywhere. Why don't we do our part? If we expect the preacher to come prepared, we ought to do our part in being ready. In home preparation, on our way to church, on divorcing ourselves from the things of the world, and leaving them outside the church. You can pick them back up on the way out, and by all means, pick up my problems too on your way out. I'd be glad for you to do that. But let's leave them outside where they belong, amen? And let's just spend this time when we come to church, and let's not just think, you know, I've done this for 50 years, I've done this for 40 years, I've done this for 30 years. And we get into that ritual. It's easy to get into that. Do you know my favorite meal would probably be a steak and mashed potatoes and steamed broccoli and carrots. I would love to eat that. And I love that meal. It's one of my favorite things to eat. But if I ate that breakfast, lunch, and dinner every day of the week, I'd probably get tired of it. And we ought to make sure, even though it's that good, and we ought to make sure church, we don't get tired of church, of being here and losing focus on what this day means. Do these things and watch how God will help. Watch how it'll help you get ready for church each Sunday, and watch how much you'll enjoy church more, and watch how much you'll honor the Lord on the Lord's day. John was by himself, and he honored the Lord on the Lord's day. The Lord met with him. And that should be our focus. We shouldn't need anyone. We come together to encourage one another, but we shouldn't need it. John was by himself, and he was still meeting with the Lord on the Lord's day. That should be how we look at church every Sunday. Let's remember whose house it is, why we're here, our motives. Let's keep our motives right and pure. Leave out those things that don't belong, and let's spend this special time, this special day with the Lord. The Lord has given us 6 days to do whatever we want to with Him. And He asks us for just one. Let's honor Him on that day. Every head bowed, every